Hello again, and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for July 2014. Well, here we are again in midsummer, and we're in the middle of the noctilucent cloud season. Very high ice crystals that may be seen an hour just before or just after sunrise or sunset. Look out for blue glowing clouds in the half-lit sky in the northwest at sunset or northeast at sunrise, although I haven't yet seen much evidence of them this year. This month, the moon is full on the 12th, and new again 14 days later on the 26th. So the best time to look at the moon with binoculars is when it is a crescent, and that's around the first week of the month, or the last 10 days. And this is to allow the illumination of craters to be from the side, which makes for much higher contrast viewing. July is a good month for viewing the Mare Orientale, or the Eastern Sea, which only makes an appearance because of the wobbling, or libration, of the moon as seen from the Earth. All the planets are visible in July at one time or another, but Saturn continues to be the star of the binoculars and small telescopes. Look southwest around midnight pretty much throughout the month. Mars is quite good at the beginning of the month in the constellation of Virgo in the west-southwest, and on the 13th it gets very close to the brightest star in Virgo called Spica. And they will both be roughly the same brightness. Mars is just a little brighter, but the contrasting colours of red and white should be nice to look at. Jupiter is past its best and will really be too low down to see this month. Venus will be becoming a morning object towards the end of the month, visible just before sunrise in the constellation of Gemini in the northeast. Mercury is very low down, morning object, at the end of the month, also in Gemini. If you are a little more confident at finding planets, you can look out for Uranus and Neptune, and these are best seen this month about 2 a.m. in the morning in the southeast and south-southeast in Pisces and Aquarius, respectively. You'd best look at a sky guide for more detailed information of how to find them. Now, July is not noted for its meteor showers. However, at the very end of the month sees the official start of the Perseids, or they don't really get going until August the 12th. On the 30th of July, the Southern Delta Aquarids will put on a show, and you can expect about 16 meteors per hour overhead. But listen out next month's podcast for more details of the many meteor showers in August. Comet C2014E2 Jacques stands an outside chance of brightening nicely in the middle of the month, around 3 a.m. in the morning. Look towards the northeast, fairly low down in the middle of the month, getting higher as time progresses, and it will be passing through the constellation of Auriga. But of course, as always, comets usually disappoint. Now on to the constellations for July. Unfortunately, it doesn't get very dark this month, but when it does, July is a good opportunity to look out for the unofficial arrangements of stars called asterisms. The most famous of these is the Plough, which is part of the constellation of Ursa Major, the Great Bear. Other asterisms include the House, the Kite, the Keystone, the Steering Wheel, the Circlet, and more famously the Summer Triangle and the Square of Pegasus. Have a look in a star atlas, either online or in a book or magazine, to identify these asterisms and try to find them in the sky. So I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. Another useful tool is a planisphere, which you can use to find out exactly what is overhead at any time and date of the year. And these are readily available from any good bookshop. Listen out next month for August's highlights. Bye for now.